In case you haven't heard, tonight kicks off the middle of the Map Fest in Kansas City, a large-scale, three-weekend festival sponsored by Inc. Next week will be a series of conversations about art, culture, and technology. The week after that is film. But this week is music, and both local and national acts are taking the stage at venues all over town. We've got organizer Chris Hagerian here to talk to us about it. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you today?
Great. How about you?
It's been a crazy day already, and it's only 10:44, but that's awesome. So,
well, first of all, tell us what we just heard.
We just heard Caroline Smith, and she's from Minneapolis, and she's going to be playing at the Record Bar on Saturday night at 9 o'clock, and I sent in a few songs, and I was really happy to hear that on the radio. That's what's great about shows like this. You can get different songs on the radio that might never get to never be heard on the radio before, so...
So the lineup for this festival is mind-blowing.
It is.
In scale, if nothing else. How many bands are we going to be able to hear in Kansas City?
We're calling it 128 bands over the 3 days. And music starts tonight. It's 10:45. Music starts in 8 hours, kicking off at 6:45 tonight, Thursday. And you can find out all about this stuff at middleofthemapfest.com. And we're throwing 128-ish bands at you over the 3 days. So it's pretty crazy.
Tell me a little bit about you. How did you come to be someone who can kind of mastermind the organization of 128 bands?
Well, there's a lot of people that are involved in the process, obviously. We partner with Nathan Roush. We call ourselves, I guess, co-founders of this event. And Nathan Roush has a record the Record Machine, which is a local record label. And we started this out as partners and continue to try and do everything together. And we work with a lot of local promoters. And, you know, you get on the phone and you get on the emails and start chasing people down. And, you know, we have a good mix, like you said, of local and national and even international. We have probably 6 or 7 acts from the UK, 1 act from Japan, probably a couple Canadians. And then we bring them all here to Kansas City and put them in Westport on 6 stages and have a pretty cheap price tag on it, so you can come out and check them out.
But tell me a little bit more about your relationship with music.
Oh, mine, I've been a passionate music fan for quite a while. Back in 05, I suppose, I became part of a music blog called Patchcord. And whenever you can start a blog, I guess, on something, it adds some sort of validity to your passion, if you can have a paper trail. And I have a journalism degree from KU, that probably helped. And I've worked for the Star for a long time. And then when the Kansas City Star launched Inc. magazine in April 2008, I was on board to as we were launching everything. And we just kept trying to associate ourselves with the local music scene in Kansas City. And we've done things like Middle. We have a partnership with the Royals. We try and put stages at community events where people otherwise would not get to see local music. Like, if you're going to the Plaza Art Fair because you want to look at the art on the art fair, how cool is it that you might be able to see Cowboy Indian Bear and fall in love with a local band, and maybe you'll buy their album, and then next time they're playing at Record Bar, maybe you'll go check them out at Record Bar.
So you're kind of ambushing people with the music.
That sounds awful, but
no,
I like it. I like
it.
Yeah, you know, that's the goal, right? You know, that's how you need to get exposure to people. If it's not on the radar, and that's not maybe the direction that their life is going, we'll throw it at them and make them listen.
Well, you sent us ahead of the show some clips of music that you happen to be very excited about coming to this festival.
Yes.
So I'd like to start by playing a clip by Cowboy Indian Bear. Let's hear it.
Great.
And then we'll talk about it. Chris Hagerian of the Middle of the Map Fest, why this selection?
That's Let It Down by Cowboy Indian Bear from their 2013 album Live Old, Die Young, which I played in this exact same seat when we did our year-end review here with Steve Kraske as one of my favorite songs of the year. And they're guys over in Lawrence, Kansas, putting out great music always, and they're going to be playing the music festival as well. They kick off the outdoor stage tomorrow night at 7 p.m., and the outdoor stage is behind Harry's, in front of Ernie Biggs, not far from Panera in Westport.
Tell me a little bit about the relationship between Kansas City's music scene and Lawrence's music scene.
Oh, I think I think it's the same thing. Some people might disagree, but I think that there's so much crossover there. They need each other to exist, obviously. But there's probably some bands that do really well in Lawrence that might not do really well here, and vice versa. But I think that we're good brothers and sisters to each other for sure.
Got it. Well, so we've got a couple more clips, and so I want to get to another one.
Sure.
There is a band called Kishibashi.
Kishibashi, yeah. And he was just featured on Bob Boylan's Tiny Desk Concert on NPR. So I thought that'd make sense in this house.
All right, let's give it a listen. So,
one of the songs it's hard to not love.
I was going to say, does that just speak for itself there?
I think it does. You know, if you can't smile after hearing some of that, you have bigger issues, I suppose. But Kishibashi is going to be playing on Saturday at 6 p.m. on the outdoor stage.
Tell me a little bit more of the Kishibashi story.
You know, I saw him last year, early in January 2013 at Record Bar. And it was one of the shows I went to because I heard some buzz about it. I didn't know much about him. And then you go there, and it just blows your mind. And that's one of those great feelings when you can walk into something and you don't know much about it, and you can totally fall in love with it. And that's one of those musicians that's worked like that. And, you know, he's done the contributing thing. He's been on tour with a lot of bands, but has since recently broke out and found success on his own. And that's from an upcoming album that comes out in May. And hopefully that'll do something really good for him.
Well, that brings up an interesting point. You've heard this performer in Kansas City before in a one-off manner. What is it? What is the impetus behind wanting to have a big festival like this, bringing all of these local and national acts together all at once?
You know, 5 years ago, this festival is today's our fourth festival, and it took 360 days, almost a full year, to get that first festival out. And the whole idea was to feature great local bands that are on the record machine, the record label that helped that started this event, and to partner them with national acts. So in order for us to get people who might not come see Cowboy Indian Bear on a normal night, to get Daniel Johnston to come up here from Austin, Texas, or to get the Ravenettes to come over here from the UK, and then to package them with the bands we really love here that we think deserve to be heard by new people. And that's the whole roots of this, is to get people in the door. Get them in there early to see the headliners, and because the rooms will be full. So come out early, especially if you're coming tonight. We've got Gary Newman tonight over at Ernie Biggs. The capacity on that room is about 450. So come early.
So let's just pretend someone doesn't know who Gary Newman is.
Gary Newman has a gigantic song from a long time ago called Cars. And that's why you should know who he is. What's cool about Gary Newman is if you're a fan of bands like the Nine Inch Nails, Trent Reznor cites Gary Newman as one of his biggest influences ever. And I just saw Gary Newman down at South by Southwest a few weeks ago. An unbelievable performance. I couldn't believe what I was seeing in a stage like that. It felt like a small venue, low production Nine Inch Nails concert.
Well, Chris, I'm so sorry that we've run out of time for this conversation. Chris Hagerian from Inc. Magazine, in the middle of the Map Fest, taking place this weekend. For a complete schedule of this weekend's events, go to middleofthemapfest.com. Thanks so much for being
here,
Chris.
Thanks for having me.
And now we're going to switch gears. Why don't you talk? Why don't you talk to me? So now it's time to check back in on what you've been telling us via Twitter, Facebook, and voicemail in response to this week's Tell KCUR installment. Earlier this week, we asked you if this year would be the year that the Royals would make it to the playoffs. And here to share your answers is KCUR's Laura Ziegler. Hi, Laura.
Hey, Gina. I just want to say first, I'm at that festival. I'm there. You bet.
Laura's going to go as a crowd member. So, Laura, based on the response to this week's question, would you say that KC is optimistic about this year's baseball season?
I'd say, based on our responses, we're more optimistic than pessimistic. We got more responses from people who said yes. For example, Matthew Berger tweets, the hashtag Royals will win more than 85 games this year, and if Yordano Ventura, did I say that right? Yordano, sorry, Ventura, pitches well, they'll earn a playoff spot. Ventura, of course, is the, well, I would say, of course, I just learned this, but he's the hot new starting pitcher. He has 102 mile per hour fastball and a lot of potential. He's come up through the Royal system. And Jennifer Russell, she tweets, Casey, I definitely have faith that hashtag the boys in blue will be playing well in October this year. And her other hashtag is bleed Royal blue.
Whoa, that's some commitment.
There were some no's, on the other hand, from just the straight, a couple people who said straight, no, this is not their year, to Leslie Bryan, who writes on Facebook, no, but we should have another season of 500 baseball, of over 500 baseball.
Tell me about last year. What happened and where did things leave off?
Well, it definitely what happened last year definitely set the stage for a number of the responses. The Royals won 85 of their 162 games. And as Leslie Bryan wrote on Facebook, that was over a 500 average. They won over 50% of their games. They were in the race until the last week of the season, which hadn't happened for 15 years. They were losing in May, and then they were climbing back into the race all year. They just ran out of time and finished five games out of the playoffs.
So you alluded to one thing that's new this year. Anything else that you want to add that is coming up in these responses?
Well, a lot of people talked about the Royals being a wild card. Michael Scott says, my prediction for the Royals this year is 94 wins, and they'll make it to the playoffs via the wild card. The wild card refers to the two teams in each of the two leagues, the American and the National, that qualify for the postseason despite failing to win their division. The wild card is the team that has the best winning percentage in the league, excluding the three division winners.
So this conversation kind of takes me back to 2003. In the interest of full disclosure, I don't follow baseball that closely. But in 2003, you would have had to be hiding in a cave to miss the enthusiasm around the Royals. After seasons of dwindling crowds at the K, the stadium was suddenly packed. The city trotted out a slogan, "We believe." And then they didn't make the playoffs. So there was a lot of disappointment. Do you get any sense that people are holding back from getting their hopes up? Because we've had our hopes dashed before.
Well, last year kind of fueled the fire, I think, and a lot of people are really excited, and there are some new players this year. Jason Vargas was yesterday's starter, and infields Omar Infante, Danny Valencia, and Nori Aoki is an outfielder. So, you know, I think these people are just hoping against hope that they're going to kind of pick up on last year.
So a local character has done a spoof on that Lord song that was such a big deal. Have you heard that?
I absolutely have. I love that Lord song, and it was inspired by, I'm told, her meeting with George Brett, and maybe a little bit.
So I wonder if you can tell me what you think this song has to say about Kansas City's relationship with its team, the Royals. I mean, there's a reference to being proud of your address and...
I think that it depends on who you are. I think certainly that Kansas City has its number of fair weather fans who would go to the stadium, whether it's a nice day, if it's a nice day to watch good baseball. Others will go to as many games as they can, regardless of how well the team is doing. And I will share along those lines this one tweet that we got from Elliot Dill, who wrote on Facebook, I'm sorry, that if the Royals don't make it this year, there is no God. I say, amen, brother.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. But thank you, Laura, and we'll listen to that song on our way out. Thanks so much to all of our guests today. You can subscribe to our podcast or listen back to today's conversations at kcur.org/centralstandard. That's kcur.org/centralstandard. Tune in tomorrow for Central Standard with the food critics. They'll talk about the best places in town to order fresh fish, landlocked though we may be. Call in with your favorite fish entrees on local menus and listen up for some new recommendations. Our show is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Christy Garten with help from intern Kate Baxendale. Our announcer is Linda Scher. I'm Gina Kaufman, and this is Central Standard on KCUR. Stay tuned for Up to Date next. The kings of the MLB.